Well, sir, it's late afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Vic, Sade, and young Russell. The gentlemen of the family are newly arrived home from the office in Tatman's vacant lot, and they stand beside the Davenport, attentively listening to the mistress of the menage, who's saying...
She made it sound like quite a jolly, gay little evening. It's an elegant, warm day, she said, and gonna be an elegant, warm evening, and we'll soon start not having elegant, warm evenings with September here and all. Ted wants us to come over directly after supper so we can take advantage of every bit of daylight. What's the matter?
Take my hat and hang it up in the hallway, Russell.
Okay. Mom, did I tell you the joke about the man and the streetcar conductor?
No. What's the matter? You have something else planned for this evening?
No. I haven't a thing planned for this evening.
Bluetooth Johnson telephone, Mom?
No. Oh, what's eating you?
You don't have the slightest idea, huh?
No.
Not the inchiest, winchiest, squinchiest idea, huh?
You're not mad at Ted.
Ted is a fathead.
Well, ish, explain. When we played cards Friday evening and you and Ted had that argument about Republicans and Democrats and trash, were you really angry at each other? Nah, Lance, ish.
Ted Stembottom has pulled this same stunt 40 times.
What stunt? What stunt?
You don't know what stunt?
I said 9 times, I didn't.
Ted Stembottom called you up in the telephone and suggested...
I never even talked to Ted. It was Ruthie telephone. Last time I talked to Ted was last Friday night when we played cards.
The big bad bone.
By George, Mom, this joke about the man and the streetcar conductor, it seems the streetcar conductor whinnied like a weaver.
Can't you see we're talking, Russell? Now, listen, Vic.
The big half-wit ox.
You're referring to Ted, huh?
Sure.
Well, are you going to keep on standing there looking like a thundercloud and calling Ted
He's
names?
He's pulled this stunt 9 million times.
Oh, look at us run around in circles. What stunt? What stunt? What stunt?
Inviting us over to his house and putting us to work mixing concrete and tearing down partitions and mowing the lawn and shingling
this
the roof.
This isn't that.
Russell, bring me a glass of cold water. I think I'm losing my mind. Sade, I'd bet every nickel I could beg, borrow, or steal that you told me less than 3 minutes ago Ted Stembottom invited us over to his house to work on his automobile.
Yes.
You did say that?
Of course.
Russell, bring Mama a glass of cold water. She's the party losing her head.
Look, you love to tinker with automobiles.
Now what labyrinths of subtle innuendo are we getting into?
You do love to tinker with automobiles, don't you? You say you do often enough. And many and many and many's the evening you've gone across the alley and laid down on your back all dirty and greasy for hours on end under Charlie Razorscum's broken down junk heap of a car. All that give me the impression you just crave to tinker with automobiles. All right, Ruthie telephones and invites you to come tinker with Ted's automobile. Naturally, I thought you'd whinny like a weasel, you'd be so happy. So I said, sure, Ruthie. All right, that's where I stand. Now, where do you stand?
I believe you mentioned the change in the tires. I believe you mentioned the scraping of spark plugs. Also, I seem to recollect you saying something about cleaning the coal dust out of the back seat.
Yes, I did.
Do you imagine I'd enjoy myself changing tires and scraping spark plugs and fooling around with hunks of coal?
You do it at Charlie Razorscum's often enough and love it.
I don't do that.
Do what?
Change tires and clean spark plugs.
Well, it's tinkering, ain't it?
No.
It's not?
No.
Well, beautiful stars above, what is tinkering?
It's adjusting carburetors and stepping up engines and experimenting with gas mixtures. That's what I do over to Charlie's. But holy smoke, that chimpanzee Ted has asked me to do hard manual labor. Over Charlie's, I fiddle around with scientific stuff. I've always been crazy about gasoline engines. And when I get one to play with, I'm completely happy. But this ox Ted wants me to drudge.
I'm beginning to see the light.
If you people are interested in my opinion, I'll venture
what
the
exactly
remark...
What exactly did Ruthie say, Sade?
Well, she said her and Ted wanted us folksy the wolksies to waltz over there this evening if we
You can free. Leave out the baby talk.
What?
Folksy the wolksies. Tell me about Ted's half-wit tires.
You better watch that tone of voice.
Tell me about Ted's half-wit tires.
He's putting the back ones on the front and the front ones on the back and the side ones on the other
cross-switch.
Side.
Cross-switch. He's cross-switching his tires. Changing them around so they wear more even. The term cross-switch is derived from an Indian legend where it seems some beautiful princess...
Hey, there's no lugs on Ted's rim. Oh, thunder.
No lugs on Ted's rim?
Not a sign of a lug.
What's this, some new foreign language? No lugs on Ted's rim.
Oh, lugs, Mom, are little clamps that fit on the rim of an automobile wheel. They make it easier to remove the tire.
Four tires to pry off and four tires to pry on. Why, that's murder.
Well, Ish, Vic, I never knew. I was astonished at the expression you got on your face when I told you about Ruthie telephoning. I thought you'd jump up and kick your heels for joy. I thought you'd be in heaven at the chance to tinker with an automobile. I remembered how often you slipped on your overalls and trotted over to Razor Scum's, just dancing with pleasure at the prospect of getting all dirty and greasy.
Do you see how this is different?
Yeah, I do now.
It's as if I cordially invited Ted to drop around and spend a hilarious evening cleaning up the basement, or shingling the roof, or washing out my shirts and socks.
I think you people will agree with my opinion.
Other jolly pastime did Ruthie mention in addition to changing tires, scraping spark plugs, and cleaning out hunks of coal?
Oh, something about straightening fenders.
Holy smoke! No, kiddo, the point is that you were right about me liking to tinker with automobiles, but you were wrong about me liking to wrestle with automobiles.
Ruthie made it sound real pleasant.
Did she? In what way?
Well, she bought a big stack of peanuts for you fellas to munch on while you work.
All the peanuts in creation couldn't tempt me to change one of Ted Stembottom's half-wit tires.
It was her idea to run the automobile out in the driveway, and then she planned to put chairs in the yard for us ladies to sit on. We could kind of halfway all be together and talk and be sociable, don't you think?
Yeah, Cuff would be mighty sociable about the time he wrapped his knuckles with a jack handle.
I say.
Yeah, she made it sound real enjoyable. Said we could have all kinds of fun laughing and joking.
Hey.
When it got dark, she said, Ted and you could push the car back in the garage and work by electric light till 10:30 or so. And after that, we could all go in the house and wash our hands and have some strawberry ice cream.
You've described an evening of almost unendurable ecstasy.
You really think Ted is asking too much?
Of course he's asking too much. Asking a guy to put in 5 or 6 hours is the toughest kind of manual labor. Why, I wouldn't wish the job of changing them half-wit tires of his on my worst enemy.
He might have thought you two fellas working together that way might make a game out of it.
Oh, boy.
Well, don't put any blame on Ruthie. She's innocent. She wasn't trying to put anything over. We'll all be together out beside the house in the fresh air, she said. I'll put chairs on the grass and we can sit and chat while the men shovel coal out of the back seat and stuff. Sounded like fun to her.
Regular circus.
I've got some rather interesting thoughts on this topic. I imagine you people will be interested in hearing.
Have you?
Yeah. Now, my opinion,
well,
we ought to try...
Well, what do we do? Telephone and call it off?
Don't you think that's what we should do?
What'll I tell Ruthie?
Vic's got a headache.
No, sir.
Why not?
I've never fibbed to Ruthie in my life. Not going to start this late in the day.
Well, I have got an incipient headache. The headache lurks around the corner every time I conjure up a mental picture of myself trying to pry loose a tire from one of them doggone out-of-date rims.
Well, I'm not going to tell Ruthie any stories.
Okay, tell her the truth.
No, I'm not going to hurt her feelings either.
Vic's tired.
Yeah, sure. And that's correct, too. I am tired. I've had a big day at the office. I'm worn to a frazzle.
You're able to be up and around?
Just barely. However, I'm not able to be up and around enough to spend 6 hours shoveling coal out of
Ted's... telephone.
Huh?
You telephone, Ruthie.
All right.
Better do it right now.
Might be more convincing of you, really.
No, you.
Won't you think it's a little peculiar?
Probably will. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
I'll volunteer to take
the telephone. Look, Andy, just tell her that you're...
you get away from there, Russell.
Oh, shucks, Sage.
Go ahead. Number is 25728.
Okay.
Smelly Clark's father dearly loves to talk.
Let it quiet, will he?
25728?
You ought to know that number by this time.
2572X, please. Correct. Kiddo, you make me feel like a crook. Sage.
What?
You make me feel like a crook.
Do I?
If you think a minute, you see... Oh, who's it?